Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, pick a pot of podcasts. It's another podcast. It's me, Lily Sanders, your pilot for the next episode of Cuddle Club. I'm very excited. This week we've got an American on. Yes, very fancy that. It's Pete Holmes, and I love this guy. I listen to his podcast. You'll hear me waffing on about it, but I used to listen to his podcast ages ago, and I just rediscovered it and remembered it, and it is so good. It's sort of like a much better version of this. So have a listen to this, then go on to You Made It Weird and the theme tune you're gonna love. You made it weird, you made it weird, you made it weird, ha ha, something like that. Pete Holmes is an American comedian. He's done loads of stuff. Well, he had the Pete Holmes Show, for goodness sakes. He did Crashing. We had a series called Crashing here, but they had a series called Crashing in America, and they were different, and they were both very good. He's done loads of TV. You'll see him, his stand-up is everywhere. Actually, do check out his stand-up online. Very nice, very funny. He's good friends with Brett Goldstein, and I'm good friends with Brett Goldstein, and Brett said, I think you two would get on, and told him that he should do Cuddle Club, and Pete probably just said, yeah, because he's a nice guy, and then here we are. But look, please enjoy this podcast before you go running and lifting up your skirt for another one, or trousers if you're lifting up your trousers. So pop your ears into this and have a lovely time. We don't really know each other, but we are, I think he thought we would get on because we're both into the spiritual. I don't think there's any shame in saying that. And vegans and everything. But the thing is, because I'm English, I don't know if you realised, we are made to feel like really embarrassed if we ever talk about a true emotion and stuff. We cover all our emotions. I know. We can't do sincere.
There's a book written by a Brit. I couldn't get into it because I still have a little too much baggage. Well, that's not entirely true. I love Richard Rohr. You've probably heard me talk about Richard Rohr, who's a Franciscan. So that's from the Christian tradition, and I really love him. And I love Rob Bell. But, like, in general, I can get a little bit of the heebie-jeebies going into the Christian domain. But there was a book called I'm going to butcher it, but it's something like, Why, Despite Everything, in the End, Christianity Still Makes Sense, or something. And it was written by a British guy. And I only read the introduction. And I was like, it was a fine introduction. It's not shots fired. It just gave me the heebie-jeebies because it reminded me of my upbringing. But he wrote this incredibly, in my opinion, British introduction, talking about how embarrassed he was to be talking about spirituality. And I remember the line. He said, I'm a blah, blah, blah man writing about Christianity. Of course I'm fucking embarrassed. And I was like, We don't really have that as much here.
Yeah. Well, I went to this roller skating camp thing, and all the people there were all from different nationalities. It was in Spain. And the Americans, when they said, like, you just had to go around a circle, you know, say your name, where you're from, the Americans, like, projected, and they had no embarrassment. And the British people, they were just saying their fucking name and where they were from. Yeah. And we were like, making like really lame jokes and like apologizing for ourselves before it was that. And the Americans were just like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
But sometimes it tips over, doesn't it?
Yeah. What tips over? Oh.
Well, the sort of earnestness, or like, Maybe that's me because I'm British. Oh, I know what it is. When I've spoken to these two Americans, it was only once, I spoke to these two Americans and they had no clue what was going on in Afghanistan. And they were so navel-gazing. And I thought, just pop your head up a little bit to have a look around, you know. Like, it's very good to, like, examine ourselves and be like, oh, what was my relationship like with my father? But also...
At a certain point... dig some wells in Africa, right? I mean, like, that's important as well.
Or just know that they don't have water even. But it was just like, there was so much never getting.
Just me and my know. Friend were like... Don't help, but at least know. I was just watching Little Women last night, and they talked about how all silk is made by children. And the rich girl who was wearing silk was like, oh, but the poor are always with us. And then just continued on. And I was like, that is basically what you're advocating. Like, at least know that is made by children.
It's like when friends used to come around and play and you used to think that your mum liked to do... It's not like this at all, actually. But did you, when you were younger, say, like... Oh, if your mum was cleaning everything up and then you say to your kid, oh, yeah, she probably likes that. She probably likes cleaning up after us.
Oh, yes.
Like, I don't know if she does.
Yeah. No, and me and my friend Tom, we were in church and we laughed so hard. We had just gotten old enough to be like a little self-aware. We were probably in high school. Mm-hmm. And we saw this kid and this kid looked like a butterball turkey, like just like pasty and round and kind of damp. Like a little Winston Churchill. I'll bring it into your world.
Description, yeah.
He was on the phone. He was calling from a payphone because it was the 90s. And he goes, hey, Dad, you can pick me up now. And then he hung up. And I was like, you can pick me up now? Like, we still laugh about that this kid thinks his dad is like, ooh, any minute I'll get to pick him up. Now that I am a parent, I imagine that there is a little bit of like, our daughter is like the celebrity in the family. So if my daughter called and said, you can pick me up, I would be like, yes, Miss Knowles. And I'd just go pick her up. You know what I mean? Like, I am starstruck by my daughter. But also, your teachers don't live at school and your mom doesn't like cleaning up.
Yeah. Like, I do think it's better. The kids, like, I'm not raising any kids, but like, the kids that now are being raised have got a lot more attention in a good way, and there's a lot more, like, we're child focused now, child centric, which is good. But then I was in a restaurant with my brother last night, and my brother's like, his kids are like, they've got everything, I love them, and I've just given them like 100 quid each for Christmas or whatever in an envelope, because all they want, kids just want money, don't they? And my brother gets a text and says, like, oh, do you guys want to, they're 15 and 16, do you want to move some boxes for money? And they were like, nah. And they haven't worked a day in their life. And we were like, we had three jobs when we were your age. And they were like, why would we move boxes for money? We've got money here.
My gosh. You ruined them.
I think they need adversity. Like, I think the kids are going to struggle maybe because they've sort of having everything.
Well, it's really dangerous. I grew up with somebody. I'm gonna smoke screen this story so it can't be traced back to who it's about. Mm. I remember noticing that if your friends are famous comedians, and I don't mean me, like, it's so clear. I mean me. What I mean is, it can be very reality skewing.
Yeah.
If when you look out into the world and one of your friends is a famous comedian and one of your friends is like a photographer, but like a famous photographer, that's going to change. Like, you don't want to drive for Uber when you're looking at me going obviously both my job and a photographer is more difficult than it looks, but like, that person, if those are your friends or your little brother, I mean, we're living in a world where things are getting less and less real, where you can make money from Instagram.
Yeah.
And that's the goal. Like, you just want money to kind of like come in from nowhere for nothing. And I completely get it. I mean, what's more tantalizing than like just go around and swim and be in a bikini or eat a croissant or whatever it might be and get paid?
What's awkward is if you go out with someone and then, I mean, you're married now and stuff, but that, I don't know if you ever did the thing where you go out with someone and they're looking at your life thinking, well, that's a nice life. I went in on that, but they want to bypass all the, like, sort of doing open spots and training for years.
Oh, my God.
And it's so offensive, actually, that they're just like, yeah, probably have a go at that. And it's just so crushing.
It is. It used to be a problem dating, especially if I lived with the person, because then they'd get a very close-up look at what I do.
Yeah, not a
and
lot.
And if you look at what I'm doing, it really... And you know what? I'm going to concede that I have been very... I don't want to say blessed. It's so corny. But, like, what a charmed life.
Yeah.
There is, like... It's like being a firefighter. It's not at all like being a firefighter, except in this one way.
We are as brave.
I was going to say that. That was the one way. Whereas as brave and as selfless as firefighters.
Yeah.
In that, from what I understand, the firefighters, like in a small town, a lot of boredom, fire, a lot of boredom, fire.
Yeah.
That's like the comedian's life as well. But when you're living with me and you're seeing the boredom, I think you'd be an idiot if you're hanging, this is so proud, but if you're living with me and you're not going like, how do I do that?
You're kind of dumb.
Like, you should.
Yeah, that's a really good flip side. Dare to dream that you can be paid to be a bum as well.
Yes.
It's true.
I mean, now that I have a baby, my life is so much my baby. But before this, it was a lot of, like, so much sleeping. And, yeah, there was the traveling and the shows. And now, you know, the quarantine really showed me how much harder doing stand-up is on our bodies. This is sort of close to spiritual. Like, I was working a lot on embodiment and trying to feel my body, especially men have a very hard time getting in touch with their, not just their feelings, but what it feels like to be in this body. And when we got the break from doing stand-up, which was the quarantine, when I came back, I did a weekend and I was like, oh my God, I forgot. Like, I wouldn't trade it for anything, but first there's like ticket anxiety, like getting these updates that the tickets aren't selling very well. That took like a lot of, robs me of my sleep and all that.
I heard you talking about that with Chris Martin from Coldplay.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and I thought, do you know what? I love that you're so honest about that, and I love that it never goes away. And then he was really honest about it, and you're like, not Chris Martin as well. And
I know.
Like, it's just levels of, you know, you play bigger rooms, you get more, it's just levels just goes up. But
yeah,
I thought that was so good to be so honest about it, because it's a plague of the mind.
Well, I'm only slightly embarrassed that I've repeated myself, but...
No, it's a thing. We've only got three things. It's like, TV, live work,
and probably
family or something.
Yeah, something. We don't know. But when I did that show, and that weekend, it ended up... It wasn't embarrassing, but it was pretty light. And I just saw physiologically what it does to do a weekend of stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking about... You know, people who work at night, if you're a security guard in a museum and you work at night, for example, that like takes a huge bite out of your longevity. Like, it just, those people tend to die sooner. We're not supposed to be doing our job at night. Look, it's a privilege, but I noticed I could feel it in my body. One of the reasons was I was like, doing stand up, like a 10:30 show of stand up, and you do it for an hour. And then at the end of it, you may as well have drank a pot of coffee, basically. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you're really jacked and juiced. And again, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I noticed, like, nothing's for free. So if someone lived with me and was really paying attention, they might decide, like, no, I'd rather... And I'm not saying this to put this down. I'd rather be the manager at a restaurant. It seems more, like, just do your work, hang out with people... You don't have to be like me. You have a funny thought and you have to like write it down like a lunatic, sit in this office talking to myself. Like, it's not for everybody.
Yeah. Cuddle recipe number 101. Take two arms, wrap them around something and don't let go. Unless the person asks you to let go. Or animal. Are you ready for the quick fire round?
Yeah, I didn't know there was a quick fire round. I'm ready.
It's very quick, so don't worry too much. Don't put too much stress on your body for this, okay? I don't want your lifespan going down. Okay, how many books have we... Oh, fuck, I fucked it. I fucked that. I have my one big chance to do the quick fire round so quick. How many books do you read a year?
I'm going to be honest, I probably read... I'm going to say 5 books a year.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. I'm proud of that answer.
I wouldn't go that far.
Do audiobooks count?
Yeah, go on. I'll let you have it.
Then it's going to be less, actually. It's gone down. Yeah. I reread things a lot, and I read things slowly, and I read, this is not an excuse to have such a low number, but I read a lot of spiritual things that are thick. You can't really, like, burn. It's not like a Tom Clancy. I have to read it slowly, and then I've really noticed that there are seasons. There's seasons when I want to read Eckhart Tolle, and that's what I'm doing right now. But I'm reading The Power of Now, which I've already read. You know what I mean? It's like,
what a fucking book, if you don't mind me saying.
I know. Yeah, no, I don't mind you saying. It's everything.
Would you fuck a robot? That's question 2.
Like a realistic one?
Well, it's still sort of...
Or is it boxy?
It's boxy.
Boxy and aluminum? No.
Yeah.
I mean, as evidenced by the fact that I've never laid one into my toaster.
All right, well, you know, don't rule it out. If you could get free healthcare for everyone, but you have to serve 2 years in prison, would you do it?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
What style prison is it? Is it like white collar prison? Is it violent? Am I being attacked?
No, you probably sort of have to give someone a BJ once and that's it.
One BJ?
Yeah, one BJ. That's not bad.
Is it my roommate? Like, we've spent a lot of time together.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, you've got a connection.
And then one rainy night. Yeah, I mean, you kind of... You'd have to.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because Eckhart Tolle says, even if you're spending your... If you have a life sentence in prison, you're not spending your life in prison. This is what he says. He goes, right now, you're just sitting in a room. Which I think is the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's like, if you think I'm spending my... So I would try to drop 2 years, but who knows? I'd be spooning my way out after a day. Before the BJ, I want to point out. Immediately after the BJ.
Yeah, exactly. Have some experience.
Yes, come back with some stories.
We're cuddling up, we're cuddling down, we're cuddling all around.
So I guess my next question is cuddling cool?
Well, I would say it's very cool. It's not cool in the sense that, like, Sean P. Diddy Combs is cool. I can't really picture him cuddling someone.
I can, because they've always got the big jackets, haven't they?
Like, they?
Well, rappers.
Okay.
But rappers have always got big puffy jackets.
Yeah, no, the puffy jacket is saying cuddle me for sure. But it's not cool in, like, who else is cool though? Like,
do you know what I think the coolest thing is? Not being cool. Kindness and not even trying to be cool. Like a real dork. I love a big old dork who's like not even, but I love it when someone is just authentically a big old thumb and you're like, yeah, I love that.
Really? You
know? Yeah.
Because there are some kids I went to high school with, I'm pretty sure you would have quickly avoided in the hallway that were exactly what you're describing.
Well, if they don't even have any awareness that, like, they're just like bringing themselves in and they're just a big old sort of weirdo. Like, you know? I mean, not if they're annoying, but if they're just a big old sort of, I can't really explain, but they're just bringing themselves to the party and they've got no awareness.
I ate lunch at my high school in JCAF, which of course you know was the nerd cafeteria. It was the math building. And I loved those. I love those freaks and weirdos. They were great.
Touch quiz. What am I thinking about touching right now? You've got 5 questions and you've got to guess what I'm thinking about touching right now. It's not rude. It's not your daddy's ding dong. Not on this occasion. That was last week's guest. Pete Holmes' dad's ding dong.
You were thinking about touching on the subject of economics.
No.
Touching the reindeer behind you.
Oh, no. Lovely guess.
Oh. I thought that O was like, yeah, that's it.
Well, you've got 5 questions. You've now got 3 questions. 3. Yeah. And this is what I'm passing off as entertainment.
Oh my God. It's human voices. People need human voices. Is it on you?
No. Actually, I do have some of these. It is a food, but also I've got some as well. Like in me.
Eggs.
Yes.
You were thinking about touching eggs?
An egg. This is solitary.
Can I tell you? This, like I stopped social media-ing for the most part. I mean, I'll still promote things. But we were watching GBBO, Great British Bake Off, last night, and I paused it to tell sweet, patient Lady Val, who, now that she's been with a comedian for almost 10 years, she knows all of it, not just how cool it is. She also knows that sometimes I'll just pause it to do a bit. And I paused it, and I said, it's a New Yorker cartoon. Do you know the New Yorker, the magazine? Yeah. The single-panel cartoons. And it's a chicken and another chicken and talking to a third chicken. And the first chicken, who's standing next to another chicken, says, Edith had an egg on Great British Bake Off. I thought that was the funniest.
Yeah, that is really nice.
It's not like, haha, but when you see the eggs, you're like, are the chickens watching? Like, that's my egg.
It's lovely. It's lovely, actually, that. Very innocent as well.
It's very innocent. It's not rude.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Come on, let us in. How romantic are you?
I am learned. Okay, I'm going to give you the timeline. I was very romantic my whole childhood, but in that Dead Poet Society way, I would write poems and not show anybody, and songs. I remember picking up a rock and I was going to give it to my junior high crush, Emily Bravo. I was going to give her a rock because it reminded me of her, kind of. And I didn't. At least I had the sense to go, like, I'm pretty sure she'll tell everyone and then I'll be the weird guy that gave a rock. But I had, like, a love for things. And if you really spend some time with a rock, it can be special. And you wanted to give that feeling to the girl. You wanted to give the feeling to the other person. So I was very romantic. And then, like, my first marriage, I stopped being super romantic. I was very, like, focused on comedy and making it. And I also, this is a big mistake, assume that once you marry somebody, you don't really have to be super romantic anymore.
Ah, yes, 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 yes.
Mistake.
And was that when she had the affair or?
Yeah, I mean, like, I was very sweet, but I don't know if I was romantic. I was very nice. Yeah, I would make her books and stuff, but they were all like very cutesy pootsy. It's like it would make you yak hard if I told you the contents of like these cute books using pet names, and they were like children's books. I had no appreciation for her as like a grown woman or myself as a grown man. I was also 23 years old, but I mean, like,
fine. Yeah,
I know it's fine, but like I was cutesy. And then, like, later, now with Val, I've, like, sort of, I think I've taught myself to split the difference. Not quite Dead Poets Society, but also not just cutesy-pootsy.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think I'm romantic. Here's an example. We got engaged on a hot air balloon. That's romantic. That's romance.
Oh, that's lovely.
But I am a comedian and I'm a bit of a computer person. So, like, it was very, like, she mentioned in the first year we were dating that she loved hot air balloons and she always wanted to go in one. And I wrote it down. I feel like a true romance, like a beautiful Spanish man in an open linen shirt. He just lives by his heart and he just is romantic. I'm, like, trying to do an impression of that man. So I'll write a little nerdy note and then follow through with it. But you know what? No one cares which one it is. They just want to do it.
And also, I feel like you're more likely to be faithful if you're sort of, again, splitting the difference. You're not like following your heart wherever it goes. You know what I mean? Like at every whim, like, oh, well, I've got to like follow this down the country lane or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, like if you're with someone that's really like a dyed in the wool romantic, like I'd be like, are you going to fall in love with the cashier at the,
I would.
And they are. And that's beautiful. Go do it. But I need something a little more
Well, you're
secure.
Up in the hot air balloon. You're like, what's it paid for a fucking hot air balloon, mate?
And you know how he knew Val was... I mean, obviously, I already knew Val was the one for me. But we landed. The hot air balloon landed. And we got out. And the guy who piloted the balloon was so funny and strange that we just started writing down notes of everything we remembered because she knew I was going to do a bit about it.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah,
that is lovely. And how did you propose to her?
On bended knee, of course.
Of course.
That's romance. And I knew what ring she wanted. I didn't want to just free ball. Somehow I managed to find out what ring she wanted. I don't remember how I did it. But I will say, around Christmas time, I'm terrible at gifts. My brother was just here, and he gave me for Christmas, out of an Albertsons, it's a grocery store, out of an Albertsons bag, 3 unwrapped flashlights. And I'm not saying that to make fun of my brother as much as I'm saying, these are the loons that I come from.
Yeah.
I've had to learn, like, you have to hide the presents, you have to wrap them. Like, I wasn't romantic in the gift-giving way until I started putting some effort in.
My boyfriend went to Egypt with some male friends, like 4 or 5 of them, and he went on a hot air balloon, and he said, have you ever been in a hot air balloon? I can't remember what... I was like, oh, I think so, but it might have been a cartoon.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I don't know. Like, I can't remember. I used to drink a lot. I don't drink anymore. But and then I had to phone my mum up and say, have I been in a hot air balloon? Because I remember them, like, doing that with the sandbags. And she was like, no, of course you've not been on a hot air balloon. Idiot. But I never know.
As someone who's been on a hot air balloon, if you could somehow perform that joke for a crowd of people who have only been on hot air balloons, like everyone, they would die laughing. Because the experience, when you start taking off, it's like slow motion.
Right.
So you really experience it. Like, you're in the basket looking over and everybody thinks like, oh, it's nothing. And then you go way higher than you expect. So it's much more adrenalizing and exciting than you think it is.
But I've seen the film Up and it's probably about the same. So, you know, it's... Now, what are arms for if not for snuggling? I've got a very exciting thing for you now. You can ask anything to Psychic Sue and she'll tell you. Just let me know and I'll just pop it into the website.
Oh my God, it's a real website?
Yep.
Okay, real basic. Will Trump win another term?
Well, you know he's out. You know he's out, don't you?
Yeah, but he can run again in like what? Yeah,
can
he run
really?
Again in like a year.
Oh no, you don't want to know the answer.
What did she say? Oh no, I'm a huge supporter, so please give me the good news. I'm just kidding.
Oh God.
What does it
say? Well, I don't know how. Yes, definitely. But I said, can he? I didn't say, will he?
Yeah, that's a real... You're at the crossroads with the devil now. That's just a loophole.
Let me just ask, will Trump get into power again?
Get into power? That's very vague. That could...
Yeah.
You need to type it how I'm telling you to type it.
Okay, tell me again.
Will Trump be elected president of the United States again?
Wait there. and he walks out. Okay.
No.
I've spelled America wrong, but I don't suppose that matters. America. Can't be
it
that
It definitely
hard.
Matters.
Okay. Oh, my God.
What does it say?
Psychic Sue says yes, definitely.
But she said that last time. I think there's something wrong with the algorithm.
Okay. I'm going to ask Psychic Sue something else.
Make it something that definitely won't happen.
Okay. Will Percy Pig be... President of the United States. Well, that could happen. Psychic Sue's off a bloody napper because she said yes, definitely again.
Yeah, she's just stuck in the yes, definitely loop.
Yeah. This is good to know. I feel a lot better.
Don't type in anything serious into this website, especially, you know, I won't give examples, but Don't give it to Psychic Sue.
Oh yeah, as a top, were you cuddled a lot? What was your family like? I mean, I know, but you know, for these idiot listeners that don't know.
Well, my family is really, really weird. And what's extra weird about that is that I didn't know they were really weird until I think I was 33. My mother is a World War II Lithuanian refugee. Like, literally when she was 7 years old, which is exactly as young as you can be while still remembering. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, things that are bad that happen when you're seven, if you were five, it might be more blurry, but seven, you're going to lock it in. The feeling of, like, we need to flee and get out of Lithuania and go to America, and she did. So she's got a lot of, like, I would say this if she was sitting right here, so it's not slander. She's, like, kind of a high anxiety, kooky person, but also deeply funny and very dark. My whole family can be very dark. I know I look sort of like, you know, like a cookie
little
salesman.
Little Crizzo boy.
I don't know what a little Crizzo boy is, but yeah, it sounds right.
Christian.
Oh, Crizzo, yeah. I look like a little Crizzo. My mom wanted better. That was like the really incredible thing about my mom. And she met my dad, who's a sort of like a very self-made ham. He's loud and he's got thick fingers, and he used to be a big drinker and just like life of the party, loud and very worked a lot because he wanted better. And my dad and my mom found each other. They wanted better. My dad was on the track to getting like out of there and into kind of like the nicer suburbs. And so they met, but they don't really get along. And then I had me and my brother, and my brother is, I love him very much, but we weren't like super close when we were kids. There's no quick way to summarize my parents. They're so fucking weird. And we give each other flashlights unwrapped for Christmas.
I mean, that is fucking
bomb. That's it.
The only way that could be worse is if they were flashlights.
Yeah, three unwrapped and used flashlights from my brother, who looks very sleepy and drained. I don't know. I wouldn't change a thing. But when I met my wife's family, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Mm. And they have their issues, but they sit around the dinner table and they like talk and listen and remember. And that's very strange. My father asked me, this last visit, they were just here. He was like, Peter, how many times in your career did you think about quitting? And I was like, this guy, this guy doesn't know. He just doesn't know me. It's okay. And it's also kind of sad where you're just like, another dad would have been like, well, remember when you moved to New York and you were like, I'm not going to take a straight job. I'm only going to work in comedy. And then 6 months in, you got a job in comedy. Remember that? And remember how that led from one thing to another? And it'd be like glowing and proud and would be talking about how grateful we are and how charmed that was. But he was interviewing me like he just worked for the Daily Mail or something. Sort of like, how many times have you thought? I mean, I've been asked that question by randos, and there you are with your father. I'm like, It's, but that's not how they are. Have you seen the movie The Master?
I can't remember the movies.
You can't remember if you're on a hot air balloon, but at the end of The Master, Amy Adams' character says to Joaquin Phoenix's character, they say, you don't look well. And he goes, that's not how I look. Which I was just like, that's it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You could say, my family, Dad, you're not hearing me, or you're not seeing me in the way that I want to be seen. And he's like, that's not how I see. It's not personal. Yeah. It's just not how he looks. I sort of have to make peace with it. But like, that's where all of my talent comes from, is this intense feeling of like, somebody's gonna hear me, damn it. You know, that sort of feeling.
Yeah. I do think we choose our parents for the lessons we need.
I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't want to do it again, but I wouldn't change a thing.
Oh, I won't ask you again, but I tell you who will. It's Alan de Botton. That was Luke on keys, if you can believe. Alan de Botton. Now a little question from Alan de Botain. You know him, do you?
Oh, Alan, yeah. Yeah, we went to primary school.
Primary. He wants to know, what little things bring you joy? That's a nice question.
It's a great question, and I'm a big believer in gratitude and starting your day with questions like that. And what's weird, I will answer your question, I promise, but like what I've noticed about gratitude journaling in the morning is the rest of the day you notice the things that you're grateful for. It just starts, it primes the engine, and you can't help it.
How have you got time to journal in the morning? I don't do that, and I haven't got a kid. It's like so hard to get into.
I'm glad you asked, because it's way easier than you think. There's an app called the 5-Minute Journal, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
And it's true to its word. It is one sit on the toilet away. You're that close to gratitude journaling.
Wow.
It's so embarrassing to say that that's when I do it, but that is what I do.
Yeah. And that's your first gratitude, a healthy stool.
That, I mean, you can tell I do it in the morning, because it's almost always like a good night's rest or like a soft bed, or I have written on it the bidet, like because we have like a Japanese toilet. So all these like bathroom things get on the list.
Yeah. Oh, every day I'd thank for the bidet. Every day is a thankful day for the bidet.
Do you have one?
No.
Oh, you got to get one.
No, in England, we're sort of just using a sort of hot flannel, really, still.
Very good.
Disgusting.
The things that give me joy, I want to answer my friend Andrew's question. Obviously my daughter, obviously my daughter, and obviously my wife. But the little things, you know what I love? I love a full tank of gas. I love clean laundry.
If you go to for a piss on the motorway, if you stop on the motorway and you empty your bladder and fill up your tank, there's no greater feeling. You're like, I'm king of the road right now.
I've emptied one and I filled another.
Yeah.
I just love the feel. I also love grocery shopping. I really like going grocery shopping. And I like the feeling of putting it all away. You know what it is? It goes back to my family. And it's not to put them down. That's just not how I look. My childhood was very inconsistent, let's say. It was it was financially secure. Like, we didn't want for things. Although we did, and that's sort of my point, is like in our house, like I always have paper towels, I always have toilet paper, I always have certain foods, and I love having gas in the car. I love getting the car washed. I love doing laundry, having the laundry clean and all that sort of stuff. And some of that, to say something positive about my folks, was because my mom was always doing our laundry and cleaning up and all that sort of stuff. So that makes me feel good. Those are little joys for me.
She loved it though.
She loved
it. Don't forget that. She
loved it. She enjoyed it.
Cuddle Club. Cuddle Club. Cuddle Club. I think that's enough. Have you ever had like a best, worst, or weirdest cuddle?
You just reminded me. I should have thought of this before I came on, but it's come to me now, so it all worked out. Mm. But I went to Chrissy's college.
Yeah.
Not Chrissy in the way that I'm sure Oxford and Harvard, these were all Christian schools when they were founded. I mean, it's still...
Whoa.
It's still like a faith-based school. I only laugh because it just seems like such a throwback to just have church and state together in the school. At that school, one of the things... You're with all these horny Chrissies who won't have sex.
Yeah.
So there were all these things. There was like a lot of cuddling. And I remember we also would hug, like standing cuddles. Like you'd hug for incredibly long amounts of time, especially if you fancied someone. And I remember, I know I'm speaking to you like I have to say that or you won't understand what I mean. And my best friend was a girl. And I was in love with her, but she had a boyfriend who went to another school. So I wasn't looking back. I think you were supposed to be like, you're going to break up with that guy. Like, I mean, like it's like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't wish I had, but like she did. But when she did, I was dating the woman I was going to marry. But like, if I had had any sort of worldly knowledge, I would have been like, don't you think you're going to break up with that guy? I mean, he's probably over there and let's do it. Like, break up with him. Stop this nonsense and then ask her out. But instead, I took it romantically that I was unrequited, and I thought there was something sort of poetic. I probably wrote poems about it and songs about it.
Yeah, on a rock. Yeah.
Of course. And then I remember vividly, I was in her room, and there was something called open dorm. You couldn't stay in a girl's room past, I think it was like 9 o'clock or something. So I had to leave, and I stood up, and we hugged. And we had been like watching movies on the bed together and stuff, like nothing ever happening, but just like very, very close, very, very cuddly, lots of under the same blanket watching Titanic sort of shit. Mm. And then I got up to say goodbye and I hugged her. And of course I was, what was I, 19? That's how old I was, like 19 years old.
Yeah.
And we're hugging for like 3, 4, 5 minutes. Mm. And her boobies are on me, and I remember I started, you know, there was, to use a Ray Romano line, the launch sequence was activated.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we were hugging like this, you know, waist to waist, touching, and then she just took one step backwards and made it like a teepee, and we kept hugging. But we didn't acknowledge it.
Oh,
and
no.
We also didn't want to stop hugging. So that is the weirdest cuddle.
Oh, wow.
We were cuddling erect and I was erect.
Yeah. Maybe she didn't move away. Maybe the power of the penis sort of pushed her into the corner. Like it just sort of...
And we were on like a basketball court and she was wearing sneakers, so you heard a squeak.
Yeah.
I would like that very much.
Well, that's both the best. That's the best, worst, and weirdest in one. Really?
Yes, that's the
for
best,
her.
The worst,
for her,
and the weirdest.
Certainly.
Yes. Oh man, I'm still friends with her. We haven't ever discussed it, which I'm surprised now that I mention it.
Well, I'll be sending her a link to this. Okay. Well, that is the end of the podcast. Well done. And also, what happens now is I put all the data into the computer, and it comes up with your cuddle type. You must be very excited.
This is fake typing. That was fake typing.
There's a lot of G's.
Yeah.
No, this is a very expensive bit of kit, the cuddle calculator, and it just comes up with your cuddle type. What do you think about that?
I think that's great. I don't know if I adequately expressed how much I like cuddling, but yes.
Well, you get a vibe. The cuddle calculator knows. It's like horoscopes. It just knows.
It just knows.
And everyone is different. And your one is the fireplace. Everyone wants to be next to you because you're so warm and you look lovely on a postcard. The only downside is you can't turn a fire down. And Pete, just like a fire, people can't turn you down.
Wow.
That's nice, isn't it?
It actually feels right on.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it, especially because you don't know me.
Yeah, sure, no problem at all.
But maybe I'll see you one day in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles with worn out hands and dirty knees. It's a Tom Petty lyric, isn't it?
Oh, right. I thought you'd just seen me on a Friday night in the bush.
Oh, my gosh.
So thank you for listening to that. Go and check Pete Holmes's podcast out. You Made It Weird, one of my favourite ever's podcasts. Thank you. I can speak in a sentence. And so I'm still on tour, guys, and everyone else. Yeah, start with the guys and go everyone else. That's a popular modern way to pitch it. So do come and see me if there's tickets near you. I would love to see you there. And the tour is very much ongoing, so don't be a little bitch about it. You can follow at Cuddle Club online. We're online, baby. Twitter and Instagram, same handle. You can follow me at Lou Sanders, and you can just follow Jesus Christ if you like as well. Okay, bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.